Christmas is a 12-day season. I hope this doesn't come as a surprise, either from your Christian formation, or at very least from the song, the 12 days of Christmas. And in fact, there are many feasts throughout this relatively short season that often get lost in the shuffle, in the midst of all of our joyous celebration, because there is so much to rejoice in, whether it is the incarnation, whether it is friends and family, whether it is simply being warm and safe inside on a very cold day. For example, December 26th, which is sometimes known as Boxing Day, is in the Christian tradition the feast of Saint Stephen, who was the first deacon and the first martyr in Christianity. Though I want to complicate that description a little bit, because there is some important backstory to the gospel that we heard this morning, that 4 days after, 3 days after Christmas, which would have been last Sunday, though we didn't celebrate it, is the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Because behind this morning's gospel story, there are some passages that are left out. We heard about Herod's desire to seek out Jesus to destroy him. What the compilers of the lectionary left out is that Herod did still seek out many children in Bethlehem, and all of the children aged 2 or younger, according to what the Magi, the Zoroastrian priests who were visiting, had said, were taken and killed. These, I would argue, are the holy innocents, but even more, the first martyrs of Christianity, who were destroyed not for any article of faith, not for any belief that they held, they were toddlers and babies, but for the simple fact of who they were, for the simple facts of where they were born and when they were born. And of course, this is both a story from long, long ago, but a story we still hear today, of people, including children, who are destroyed for the simple fact of who they are, for the simple facts of where they were born or when they were born. And I think it is important not to leave that story unspoken, especially given the news from yesterday, but to remember that even in the midst of our Christmas joy, we remember these early figures in our faith, including the holy innocents. It also reminds us that from almost the beginning of the story of the incarnation, from almost the beginning of Jesus's story, he entered into the realities of human history in the fullest sense. That from the time he was a baby, he experienced strife and conflict. His family needed to flee from violence in the middle of the night, needed to become refugees so they could seek out safety and security that should have been their right, that should be all of our right. So we get the gospel we heard this morning, that in a dream, and of course, when we hear the name Joseph and hear about dreaming, we should be reminded of Genesis, of Joseph, the son of Jacob, and his authority and ability to interpret dreams and have rather prophetic dreams of his own. And in much of the gospel story, there is a certain repetition of the earlier biblical witness. Now, whether you understand this as some canny literary strategy for a new tradition trying to establish itself, or the glorious workings of our God, I leave that to your discretion. But we hear about Joseph and his dreams to anchor the story of the Holy Family in the great sweep of biblical history. Again, we hear of a Joseph dreaming. And there was the dream we heard about a couple of weeks ago about Mary. Here we get that Joseph, in a dream, was warned by an angel of the Lord to take the child and his mother. Notice that twice we get the phrase "the child and his mother," but neither Jesus nor Mary are named in this passage. To take the child and his mother and flee to the land of Egypt. But we heard this part already twice this morning. And they go. We hear of no debate, no questions, no grappling from either Joseph or Mary. Though surely it was a challenge even then, or perhaps especially then, to pick up your life as you know it and leave it behind, to find a new life, to find safety and security in a strange land. And of course, as good Israelites, it must have been strange for Joseph and Mary to find sanctuary in Egypt, even as it is an echo of biblical history and the family of Jacob. But we hear none of that debate. We hear none of those questions. We hear none of the practical challenges of becoming a refugee, an immigrant, of finding safety and security somewhere else. They simply go, and we hear that they were safe, that they found that safety and security, and that Jesus was able to grow into a child. And it is one of the realities of our biblical witness that throughout history, Christians have wondered, what was it like for Jesus to grow into his childhood, for God to be a child? The Gospels, all four of them, provide very little evidence. We hear the nativity narratives, we hear the story in the temple, but we get very little of his childhood. So in this intense curiosity, in this wondering at the glories and mysteries of the incarnation, early Christians wrote their version of fan fiction. Apocryphal text, some of which included some attempts to fill in the details, to try and figure out what Jesus must have been like as a child, what his childhood in Egypt and beyond must have looked like. I encourage you to go look at them if you are curious sometime during the week. Because here, it is skipped over. We just hear that the Holy Family, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, found safety and security in Egypt, until Herod and the threat on Jesus' life had passed away. Then another dream, echoing almost the exact same language as the first, take the child and his mother and go, which of course is the refrain through almost all of the Bible, that God appears, whether directly or in the form of an angel, to his chosen in all of the iterations and says, pick up and go. Find a new life elsewhere. On their return, we get another dream because Archelaus, Herod's son, was still in power in Judea, and so they go to Nazareth to settle and fulfill the prophetic messages around Jesus and his birth. We get two different descriptions of prophetic messages in this relatively short gospel passage. But my question this morning, as curious as I am about Jesus' childhood, is what do we take away from this story of upheaval of the Holy Family being thrown into these impossible circumstances and still enduring, still finding safety and security, still continuing the story of our salvation. First, what I suggested before, that in the incarnation, Jesus experienced the fullness of our humanity. Just as we continue to experience strife and conflict and violence as parts of our history, personal and collective, so Jesus, from almost the beginning of his life, experienced the same, endured the same, journeyed with us on those seemingly impossible journeys, whether literal or metaphorical, to find sanctuary. To find the ability to create a life, to create a home where they could find safety and security. So the incarnation, in its mystery, in its miracle, embraces everything about what it is to be human, including the ugly parts that too often we would like to forget. And then the second is that even in the midst of that strife and conflict, that violence, God was still with the Holy Family, was still sending messengers to invite them to seek new life, to seek a place where they could find a home. And as I mentioned, I think all of us make that journey, some quite literally, and the refugees and immigrants that still seek safety and security in this day and age. It has been said so often, it has almost become a cliche, but it is true that our God, our Lord and Savior, was a refugee and an immigrant. But even if that is not part of our personal experience, I think all of us knows the challenge of seeking out a way to live our life, to find sanctuary, to find a home in which we can flourish, even if it's in a more metaphorical sense. And so where does that leave us? Knowing that the incarnation embraced all of what it is to be a human, and that God was with the Holy Family, even in the most chaotic of moments, even in the midst of strife and conflict and violence. One, that in our own journeys, we are following an ancient pattern. We are following an all too human pattern. But also, if you have found a home, literal or otherwise, spiritual or practical, in all of the ways that we find peace, what does it mean to turn again and offer the opportunity for home, for sanctuary, for peace to another who is still on that journey? Because always we're invited to recognize our own journey, but that we never journey alone. So, in our own day of strife and conflict, of violence, of the ancient story of men clinging to power at whatever cost, let us not have that be all of the good news that we have to share. Let us remember that God is with us through all of it, and that we are promised the ability to find sanctuary, to find home, but then invited to turn and offer the same to each other, to all those we meet, until at last human history is no longer defined by chaos, but is defined by shared community, and all are at peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.